Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Guys, my name is Trey Green. I'm the next generation pastor. As you hear, yep, that's why you can't trust these students. It's like they've never heard of a person with a nickname before. So yes, my name is Harold Green. Harold Green II is here as well, so... No, they thought it was the funniest thing. Not too long ago, we were at, I really don't even know how they found out. I think my wife threw me under the bus at one point and told some of the students, and it just spread like wildfire. So every day I have another student, is your name not Trey? No, it's not. So no, I love the students. They love to give me a hard time, but it's a lot of fun back and forth. So I go by Trey. My name is Trey, and I'm the next generation pastor here at Delaware Christian Church. And I'm super excited that you guys are here to worship with us this morning. As you came in, hopefully you were greeted, with some big warm smiles and some firm handshakes. It is our teen takeover today. So we have our middle school and our high school ministry serving throughout various roles of the church, everywhere from the sound booth to the band to the greeting to the coffee. And they're just using their gifts and their abilities to serve the church and ultimately to serve God. And then today's also another special day for us. It's our family worship service. So we don't have any kids ministry today. We're inviting all the kids to sit in service today and worship with their parents. We feel it's a really important thing for our families to worship together. So as you came in, your children should have been handed a goodie bag with some different activities, some coloring pages, some candy and stuff in there. If your child did not get one of those, if you want to raise your hand, we have some students in the back that can make sure you get one. On the back of the pamphlet you guys got, there is kind of a follow-along with the sermon today. So if your child fills that out or just takes it to one of the tables in either side of the worship center, there's some students out there giving them candy for completing that and just for hanging out with us during service today. Also, just so you guys know, the nursery is open. It's not staffed, but if you feel like you need to step out, you're more than welcome to use that. But we want you to know, guys, we're prepared. We're excited to have your children with us. So I'm a parent myself of two very young kids. I know how nerve-wracking it can be sometimes, but don't let it bother you or anyone else. We're excited to have them here. We're excited for them to worship with us this morning. So a couple things I want to hit on really quickly before we move on. August 12th, that's in 2 weeks from today, we have our annual party in the park for our middle school and our high school ministries. So if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, I really want to invite you out to that. It's going to be from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the South Shelter House at Smith Park. You're going to come out. We're going to have a cookout together. You'll really get the chance to meet some of our leaders. Guys, you guys have some awesome, amazing adult leaders that just put their hearts and souls into serving your middle school and your high school students. It's just amazing what all they do. So it's a great chance for you to come out and get to know them. It's a great chance for us to kind of talk about the vision for the next year for the middle school and the high school ministries, our Jolt and our Aftershock ministries. But it's also another great time for us adults to band together and show these kids that we're never too old to beat them and get them a kickball. So it's really a good time. I really want to invite you guys out to that August 12th from 1 to 4. You'll start seeing more information in the weekly and also through emails regarding that. The last thing I want to bring up is small groups. Our small groups are starting back up in September, and I am so stoked that these are coming back. If you've never been a part of a small group or you've missed being a part of one, now's your chance. It's going to be an awesome time. It's just a time to really feel connected with each other. You're going to dive into the Word of God with other believers and really just be able to discuss and to mature in your faith. And one of the best things about it is you're going to be supported by others. You're going to have that small group there that's going to support you through thick and thin that you can talk to with no matter what you might be going through that day. So I really want to encourage you guys to get involved with that as well. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive right in this morning, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this morning. I thank you so much for each and every single person in this room today, the parents, the children, the students. How awesome is it that we can come together as families to worship you, God. I pray that as we go on through today that your words resonate with each and every single one of us. We're all here for a reason, whether we know it or not, and we're just, our hearts are open, our ears are open, God, for you to speak with us. So I just thank you for everything you do. I thank you for the love that you have. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. So this past Friday night, we had a family movie night here at the church, and we watched the movie Inside Out. It was a lot of fun. It was so awesome to see so many people come out. This place was packed. We had a cardboard car box contest. You can see we brought the winning cardboard box car up here. The Carpenter family made this awesome car. Everyone got a vote on their favorites, and that was the champion. It was so much fun to see all the kids build their cars and get excited about their cars and then just watch the movie together and just fellowship together as parents. It was really a good time. So if you came out to that, I want to thank you for joining us. But today, we're going to discuss the movie Inside Out. And it's always so interesting to me what kind of principles that we can pick up from the different movies if we're really paying attention. And as we're discussing a couple months ago about what movies we were going to watch and discuss today, the movie Inside Out came up. And I was super excited. I had seen the movie. It was a few years back when it first came out. My wife, Kristen, and I, we got to go to a drive-in and see it there with another couple friends of ours. And it had me rolling. It had me laughing the whole time. It's really a cute movie and a really fun movie to watch. But I never really stopped to think about the principles that were portrayed in the movie. For those of you that have not seen this movie, Inside Out, let me give you a quick recap of what this is all about. The movie takes place from the viewpoint of an 11-year-old girl, Riley. She has a really normal life. She lives in Minnesota. She plays hockey, and she's this awesome best friend. They play hockey together. She has a loving family. Her parents are working, and they're loving on her, and she's just got everything going for her as an 11-year-old girl. And all of a sudden, her dad takes a job in San Francisco and uproots everything she has. She moves away from her friends. She moves away from her hockey team, her school, puts some stress on her parents. But what's really cool is that we see this movie play out from the viewpoint of Riley's emotions as an 11-year-old girl. And these emotions that we watch play out in the movie are joy, sadness, anger, disgust, and fear. And throughout the movie, we watch how these emotions react to what Riley is going through at any given time. If you've not seen the movie, I really encourage you guys to check it out. It really is a good movie. So today I want to start with a clip from the movie, and it's going to kind of set the tone for what direction we're going to go with today.
Facts and opinions look so similar.
Don't worry about it. Happens all the time.
All right. So in this clip, we see Joy, Sadness, and Bing Bong. That's the other character in there. And they get in this train of thought, hoping the train of thought is going to take them back to headquarters. As we saw Joy, as she is throughout the movie, she's super excited. She's really excited to get to be bringing Joy back to Riley's life. And she starts dancing around, and she knocks over these boxes. And these boxes are titled Facts and Opinions. And as Joy and Bing Bong start cleaning up the mess, we see that they kind of just put them back in the boxes carelessly. They don't pay attention on making sure the facts go in the facts box and the opinions go in the opinions box. And I watch this movie over and over and over again. And I'm like, man, there's so many different ways we could go about today's talk together. And then it kind of hit me. As Christians, we are constantly surrounded by opinions. You know, whether you want to hear them or not, everyone has an opinion and they're willing to share it with you, whether you want to know what it is or not. Then on the other hand, we have this thing. We have this book, and it's called the Bible. The Bible is truth. The Bible is facts. It's filled with factual information. It was given to us so that we may know what is true. So we might know the facts. And if we look at what John 17:17 says, Jesus is speaking here about his disciples. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Now, if you guys believe what the Bible says, like I do, And if you believe what this verse here in John 17:17 says, like I do, then all of a sudden we have this entire book written to help us throughout our lives, kind of guide us throughout our lives, if you will. We have this entire book, this entire Bible, to help tell us what facts are and discern what opinions are and how these opinions could be clouding the facts of our everyday life. You see, as we saw in the clip a few moments ago, facts and opinions, they tend to get mixed up very easily. For example, take driving, for instance. Okay, does anybody in here tend to have a lead foot? I'm the only one? All right, I see one back there. Oh, of course, Carter, okay. Take that for example, right? A lot of times I think those numbers on the speed limit sign are like an opinion, like a suggestion, if you will. A few weeks ago, I was on my way to church, and I was running late, and of course, what do you do when you're running late? You tend to speed a little bit. And I looked at my rearview mirror, and I had lights behind me. I'm like, oh, goodness, what did I do? So this officer came up and asked me where I was going. I'm like, hey, I'm going to church. I'm trying to get there in time. I really don't have time to get a ticket right now, you know. And he kindly informed me that those speed limit signs, those are like facts. That you don't get to have your own opinions and your own judgment about how fast you should be driving at any given time. But here's the thing about facts and opinions. When it comes to opinions, it doesn't always happen on purpose. We're surrounded by people all of the time. And through course of conversation, we tend to discuss things and sometimes allow opinions and facts to get confused without ever really knowing that it's happening. I've thought about some common opinions when it comes to Christianity and God and what it means to follow God. And we're going to discuss a couple of these opinions together. These aren't necessarily the top two out there, but I think these opinions are some of the most common ones between different people. So opinion one, and it's on the screen here. Opinion one says, God does not get angry or show an outwardly expression of his emotions. So many times, I think we talk about this big, loving God that never gets angry. We'll talk about how Jesus was sent to this earth to save us from our sins, and he never sinned. He always did and said the right thing, which is completely true. He did. He was perfect. Jesus was perfect. But what we don't talk a lot about as a church are the different emotions that we see through the Bible in reference to God and also in reference to Jesus as he was here on this earth. So today, we're going to see how God and Jesus exhibit anger, sadness, and joy, the same emotions that we see in the movie Inside Out. So if you guys have your Bible, let's take it all the way back to the beginning in Genesis 1:27, and it will also be up here on the screen. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So this means that God designed men and women to reflect his characteristics. Riley's emotions that we saw in the movie, they're a direct reflection of God's characteristics. You see, God has feelings. Every time we walk away from God, his heart breaks. We read all throughout the Bible what makes him angry and sad and happy and so on and so forth. This whole thought of having a God that does not show emotions, it makes absolutely no sense to us. If we're made in his image, that means our emotions and our feelings come from him as well. Let's take a look at some of the emotions that we see God and Jesus have throughout the Bible. The first one we're going to take a quick look at is in Exodus 4:14. Now, this verse is just before this verse, we read that Moses is met with the burning bush. Now, the Lord is speaking to Moses through this burning bush, and he's telling Moses that he needs to pick up and he needs to go to Egypt. Now, Moses is like, I don't think so. You can send somebody else. And he asks several times for the Lord to pick someone else to go. In Exodus 4:14, it says, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses." But then let's also look at the memorable story of when Jesus entered the temple to find that people were in there buying and selling goods. It's going to be found in Matthew 21:12. It says, "Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves." And then the last one I want to look at is in Mark 3:5. It's another great example. This passage is taken from a time when Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. So there's a lot of people in the synagogue, and they're following Jesus around. They're looking for a reason to accuse Jesus of a wrongdoing. And that's where it kind of picks up in 3:5. He looked around at them in anger, the men following him. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, this is the man he was healing, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. You see, these are some good examples of Jesus showing us that there are times when anger is the correct response. But notice that Jesus controlled his anger. Neither of these situations, whether ever a temper tantrum, neither of these situations did he ever harm anyone or laid hands on anyone or anything like that. You see, it's okay to be angry at things that make God angry. But it's how you use that anger that determines if you allow anger to become sinful. Sinful anger is anger that is more focused on us rather than focused on what makes God angry. We also see a lot of caution given to us throughout the Bible when it comes to anger. There's a couple of verses that people like to talk about when it comes to giving us a warning about anger and how not to sin in the midst of it. The first verse that we're going to look at is in James 1:19. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You see, anger is a God-given emotion, and it's not sinful in and of itself. Anger at sin, anger at injustice, anger at evil, that's all fine. But anger that leads to malice, anger that leads to rage, anger that leads to revenge, now that is wrong, and that needs to be handled very quickly. So when does it become sinful? Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You see, anger can be destructive to us when we allow it to control us and what we do. When it says, do not let the sun go down while angry, the Bible is telling us very clearly that we need to deal with this emotion quickly. If you continue to stay angry about something, you're allowing the devil to start to work inside of you. Anger can be good, but there is a time and there is a place for this emotion, and you need to be very, very careful and cautious about how you react to anger. So what are some other emotions that we see demonstrated throughout the Bible? John 15, we read Jesus telling this parable, a story, if you will, about the vine and the branches. And basically here, Jesus is saying that if we remain in him and follow his word, do what he's telling us, that we will bear much fruit. And then we get to verse 11. John 15:11, it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be complete, or may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So Jesus is talking about the very joy that he has and how if we do what he is telling us to do, we can be filled with the same joy as him. There are many things in life that we find joy in. Some people find joy in money. Some people in this room find joy in success in the workplace. Others, they find joy in having the most friends or having that one best friend that can't be separated. There's some people in here that find joy in starting on the sports team of their choice or having the most likes on their Instagram pic. But you see, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but if that is what you find your joy in, then you will never be filled with true everlasting joy. You see, you're never going to have enough money. You're always going to need more. The success in the workplace is eventually going to fade, and you're going to be filled with the need to need more success, more control over what's going on there. That friend that you thought was that best friend that would never let you down, they're going to let you down. The season, that sport that you're in, it's only going to last for a season. That Instagram pic that has the most likes today, it's going to be old news by tomorrow. True joy will only come from God. Just as Carter mentioned earlier when talking about communion, until you bring God into your life, you will never have that complete and everlasting joy. Joy, that kind of joy is only possible when you allow God to be a part of you and your everyday life. The last feeling I want to hit on this morning that we see Jesus go through is sadness. In John 11, we read a story about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick, and he ended up passing away before Jesus made it back there to him. In John 11:35, simply states, Jesus wept. Two words that tell us so much. Two words that show that he did have emotion. He did have a sadness to him at times. He felt what we feel. If you research a little bit of the Greek translation in this verse, wept means tear. It means Jesus shed a tear. I think a lot of times we read over this verse and we think Jesus is here weeping uncontrollably. That's not what happened. He simply shed a tear, but he was sad. We see him shed a tear in this verse. We don't get a lot of explanation why this is. We know that Jesus loved Lazarus. That might have had something to do with it. We know that Mary was weeping, which it's a different translation, weeping. She was emotional. She was crying. She was upset. Jesus loved Mary. He loved this woman that was upset and crying and emotional right now, so that could have had something to do with it. We really don't know. It could have been a little bit of everything going on, but he shed a tear. Sadness is a real emotion. Sadness is a real emotion, one that's important in our everyday lives. It's both good and necessary. In the movie Inside Out, sadness allows Riley to grieve over the losses that she sustained during her big move and her life change to San Francisco. And eventually, she was able to move on and change for the better. Sadness can be a catalyst for a much deeper joy down the line. So opinion one was God does not get angry or show any outward expression of emotions. But fact one is God's emotions are always righteous and true. In turn, we are made to reflect characteristics of God, including his emotions. The second opinion that we're going to talk about this morning is this. God will not accept us back after we allow our emotions to take us astray. How many times do you feel like you let your emotions get the best of you? It's happened to me. Have you ever had a fight with your spouse and you said something that you instantly regret? Kids, have you ever yelled at your parents when you're in the argument only to later realize that, man, that was pretty silly to do that, right? Or high schoolers, have you ever been alone with a boyfriend or girlfriend and you let those emotions kind of get things out of hand and let things go a little too far? Emotions. Emotions have a way of getting the best of you. Your guard is down, and the devil loves when your guard is down. He loves to see you get emotional because he knows he can take full advantage of that. Toward the end of the movie, we come to a part where Riley's attempting to run away. And she boards a bus back to Minnesota. Sadness takes over the controls. And Riley starts being flooded with all these memories. She stops the bus driver immediately and runs back home to her parents. She's on her way back home. We get a glimpse of what her parents are going through. They're worried sick. They're calling the school, and she wasn't at school. They're trying to think of everywhere she's been. They're calling her cell phone. They can't get a hold of her. And that's when Riley walks back in the door, and then this happens. Did you guys see that warm embrace of those parents, right? They were excited she was back. They were loving on her. If you think about it, this is just like God. waiting for us to come back to him. Riley had done a lot wrong here. Riley let her anger control her emotions. She let her anger be a catalyst that eventually led to her stealing her mom's credit card. That led to buying a bus ticket back to Minnesota. She had no plans to come back, but when she did, she was loved. No matter how bad things get for us or what we do wrong, there's always some precious memories of love and compassion and understanding remaining from earlier times. We need to tap into those memories and remember that we do have a way to have true joy and that you are truly loved by God. During the scene in the movie, Riley's family island is restored. That's what happened there at the end of that. Her family island is restored. And it actually comes back bigger and better than it was before when she had lost it. When we return to God after slipping away, a lot of times our relationship is stronger than it was before. We have experiences that we did not have that shown us that we need to lean on God and we need God to be involved in our life, and that in turn leads us back to him. In essence, our God island is restored. We start to feel at peace because of the amazing love and the amazing grace that he has for us. He is willing to accept you back. There's a great parable that Jesus tells about a lost son in Luke 15 that really solidifies the thought of being loved and accepted by God. In this parable, a man had two sons. The young son goes to the dad and says, give me my half of the estate, give me half of everything right now. And his dad did. And when he did, the young son gathered everything that he had and went off on his own. And he ended up squandering everything that he was given, wasting it all. And then came a time of hardship. And then came a time of famine. And the son, he was in a lot of need. So he decided that he would go back to his dad and he would ask to be a servant of his because he's no longer worthy to be called the man's son. And then we're going to pick up in verse 15:20-24. It says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You see, just like Riley's parents accepted her back, God is waiting for you. The young man in this story thought he had life all figured out. He thought he could go do it on his own. He thought he could better himself without the need of anyone else. But he couldn't. But notice, when he returned home, he came back with a heart of repentance. He confessed what he had done. He told the dad how much he had messed up. You know, it's the same thing that happened to Riley in the movie. She had an awakening when on the bus. And when she came back, we see her break down. She asks for forgiveness. She tells her parents that she had messed up in life and how sorry she is. And they accepted her. They loved her. So many times throughout life, we try to do things without first consulting God. We think that we can figure this out and that out on our own, and we end up failing, don't we? The cool part is, God is standing right there, and he's watching us, and he's saying, that's okay. I love you. Come back. I will help you. God is waiting to celebrate your return. The Bible tells us in Luke 15 that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Like, there's a party waiting to happen. God wants to celebrate your return with him. So let's take a look at this second opinion again. God will not accept us back after we allow our emotions to take us astray. But the fact is, God loves you. He will accept you back no matter what you have done, and he will celebrate as he does so. So as we start to wrap up today, I want to talk about one last thing. I want to talk about acting. Thinking about our actions before reacting to our emotions. So many times we allow our emotions to boil up inside of us, the good and the bad, and then we react to them from there. But we have been given something from God that will help us when it comes to this. John 14:26 says this, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." If we think about this movie, The Inside Out, it's missing one of the most important parts of our everyday life. They're missing the Advocate. They're missing the Holy Spirit, which was sent by God to live inside each and every single one of us. There's an article written by a guy named Todd Young, and I read as I was preparing for today. He brought up a good point that we as Christians need to use the Holy Spirit as a conductor. Think about what a conductor does. They lead. They manage. The conductor, or the Holy Spirit, would stand between our emotions and the control board. He would decide which emotions get a voice. He would decide which thoughts to entertain and which actions are the most beneficial, regardless of how loudly our emotions are yelling and trying to take over the controls. This is how we choose to act before we have to react to our emotions. The Holy Spirit is steered by principles and facts. If we choose to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit that God has sent us, man, we have a conductor inside of us that will help us control our emotions every single day. You see, our goal in life is to not be happy all the time. Our goal in life is to be ourselves. We need to experience life in its wholeness. As we experience life in its wholeness, following God and allowing Him to be a part of our lives, we will be eventually filled with more joy than we could ever imagine. So think about your life today. What are some opinions that you are allowing to cloud the facts of God's word this morning? What are some emotions that you are reacting to right now? Maybe it's time for you to allow the Holy Spirit to be a conductor in your life, allowing you to act rather than react. I'm going to be down front during this next song. If you just need prayer, I would be more than happy to do that. If you're wanting to take that next step with God, I'll be there to help you every step of the way. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go ahead and worship together. Dear God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you do for us. Thank you so much for sending that Holy Spirit to us, allowing us to act before we react, allowing us to lean on you for the guidance and the love that you have for us, God. I pray that as we go throughout this week, that we continue to remember that you're right there with us and that you're continuing to guide us each and every single day, and that we can't do this on our own, but you're there with us, God. So I thank you for that. I thank you for everything you do and for the love that you have for us. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.